Welcome to today's episode of The Power of Reinvention. I'm Kathy Sharp-Ross, and we're here to talk with my guests about the dreams, the visions, and the passions that individuals have every day and dare to explore them. Whether it's business or personal, you're entitled to live the life that you want, and no matter the circumstances, you have the power to create success, fulfill your dreams, and live with passion. That's what I'm talking about. So dare greatly and happy reinventing, folks. Let's do this. Hello, and welcome to The Power of Reinvention. I'm thrilled to share with you an incredible interview I did with my dear friend, Katie Chin. She's the author of Katie Chin's Global Family Cookbook that came out just a little while after we recorded this episode, and it's available on Amazon. She's also the culinary ambassador of the National Pediatric Cancer Foundation, an advisor for the Chinese Americans for Biden, chair of Mayor Garcetti's AAPI LA Task Force, Women's Entrepreneurship Day Regional Ambassador for North America, Mayor Garcetti's Office of Economic Development, LA Women Mean Business Committee member, and is a regular contributor to Forbes magazine. Our conversation was fantastic and was recorded during my Reinvention virtual chat, where our friends and business colleagues joined us for a live Zoom conversation. So I just had to grab this and bring it to my podcast. So enjoy. Have a great experience listening to Katie and I talk about some really wonderful things, and happy reinventing.
Oh my goodness. How do you do it all? And there's more. So we're going to delve in.
Every entrepreneur can relate, right? Because we never stop working.
What do they say? If you need something done, give it to a busy person.
Right? Exactly.
So Katie, you got into the cooking space at an early age, but there was definitely a point in my life, Cindy's life, several of us who are here, who we know you from an industry that is so not about cooking, the marketing, entertainment, promotion world that many of us work in. And that's where you and I met. So I'm really excited to have you share with us sort of those moments, those aha moments where you were kind of in that cooking space a little bit with your mom, and then you got into the kind of marketing entertainment industry, and then there was this reinvention moment. So would you like to share a little bit about some of those moments in your life and those aha moments that maybe led you to that?
Absolutely. Well, I just feel like I need to share my mother's story because it is so completely inspiring and also all about reinvention for her personally as well. Fabulous. But my mother, Leanne Chin, was a very famous chef and restaurateur in Minneapolis, where I'm from. She immigrated in the 1950s from China to Minnesota, of all places, making 50 cents an hour as a seamstress, didn't speak one word of English. She always loved to cook because she followed around the family chef when she was a little girl, but she couldn't even find, you know, fresh ginger at the market. So she did the best she could. And then one day she threw a luncheon for some of her sewing clients in the early 1970s. And they were so blown away by her food because it was the first time they had authentic gourmet Chinese cuisine. They encouraged her to start teaching classes and catering. And so she did that, but she had to take the bus, didn't even have a car. Yeah. One thing led to another. She got a lot of notoriety as a caterer. And then she hooked up with a socialite who wanted to open a restaurant with her. So this socialite happened to be friends with the owner of the Minnesota Twins, Carl Pohlad. And many of you in the film business know his son is Bill Pohlad. Anyway, Carl Pohlad was friends with Sean Connery. So Sean Connery invested in the restaurant, which was crazy. Like, what? What is that? In Minnesota in the mid 80s, she opened her first restaurant, never even went to high school, continued to grow the business. And she, in the late 80s, sold it to General Mills. It was worth about $30 million at the time. And they made her president of the division. But she, again, was making 50 cents an hour as a seamstress, never went to high school. And they made her president of the division.
What was the name of her company, Katie, at the time that she sold to them?
It's called Leanne Chin, and it actually still exists. And it's owned by the company that owns Pickup Sticks here in LA.
Amazing.
So she wasn't, you know, entirely pleased with what they were doing to her food. So she bought it back, and then she got, you know, VC funding and ultimately built it into a $50 million company. So she was extraordinary, a huge pillar of the community, always gave back, had a foundation. So we grew up working in her tiny catering basement in Minnesota, you know, while all the other kids were at the mall and ice skating, we were frying chicken pieces, gritting our teeth the whole way, but we knew something magical was happening to her, right? So growing up in this environment, I was like, I am never working in the food industry and I'm getting the hell out of Minnesota. It's freaking freezing cold. No Asians, all Scandinavians, no offense. We belong to the Jewish Community Center and the Sons of Norway. We had no clubs. We were really confused. Wow. Anyway, I was like, get me out of here. So I moved to LA after college and I worked in the entertainment industry for 14 years where I know so many of you. That's how we all met. Mm-hmm. And wonderful experience for me. I met so many wonderful people. And one day I had forgotten how to cook. I was a senior VP at Fox of promotions and product placement. And I decided to throw a dinner party, but I kept calling my mom and she was like, stop asking me questions because I forgot how to cook. So she got on a plane with frozen lemon chicken. She showed up on my doorstep. She cooked the whole meal, but she let everybody think I had cooked it.
Oh, I love her.
She was just that kind of mom, right? But meanwhile, she opened my fridge and found only champagne and yogurt. And she was so mortified. She was like, this is bad. So she kept flying to LA, teaching me and my friends how to cook. And they were like, you guys should do a cookbook together. And I was like, we should do a cookbook together. So I got a cookbook deal and for us. Yeah. And I realized it was an opportunity to build a mother-daughter culinary brand. I could see it. You know what I mean? Brilliant. And I was just so sick of my life. I was like, I was not feeling passionate anymore about my career. I was not feeling passionate at all about my marriage. So I just woke up one day and I quit my job and I left my husband all in the same month. Now, I don't recommend doing that. Like maybe pace it out a little bit, maybe at least just 2 months in between those things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I had the luxury because I didn't have kids. I felt like, you know, if not now, then when? And I know this is going to sound corny, but I was staying in my friend Christos Garkinos's guest room, his converted garage. And I had this old magazine like spread taped to the bathroom wall and it said, leap and the net will appear. And I was like, you know what? What have I got to lose? Like, what's the worst thing that could happen to me?
Good for you. Know what I mean? You know, like, Katie, that's amazing. And thank you for sharing that because that is so aligned with the philosophy and the way I really share and encourage and inspire people around this topic of reinvention to be able to have the courage. And more importantly, you felt entitled to live the life that you wanted. You had that aha moment, right? You sort of said, I don't have to live like this. It doesn't have to be this way. It may have taken a lot of courage, right? And a lot of work to sort of really pull yourself out of these different scenarios. But kudos to you for knowing that you were entitled to create a new kind of life.
Thank you. It, you know, it's not easy. It's scary to take a leap like that.
Yeah.
And when people see you one way, and you turn it on its head, you know, you figure out who your friends are.
So I was just going to ask you, tell me something, your friends, were they cheerleading you on or were they telling you you were crazy? Was there a combination of the two? It's hard. You know, you want to surround yourself with people that are going to support you, but you sometimes want to listen to the people who might go, sweetie, I love you so much that I am telling you that you're doing the wrong thing. You know,
right.
Was it?
Exactly. You know, I definitely feel like the people that knew me the most were extremely supportive. I think other people, particularly in the entertainment industry, you know, they were projecting because too scary for them to do that.
Right.
And they just sort of projected all that fear onto me. So, it was truly eye-opening to see that happen.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I was then took acting classes, studied acting and castle in Italy. Like I did all these crazy things. My acting teacher was like, sometimes you have to go crazy to become sane. And it was so liberating because I was like, well, they think I'm crazy anyway. So I'm just going to do whatever
so
I feel
it's
like
okay. But that's really courageous stuff. And I love that. I love that you found these layers of things in your life that you were willing to explore and willing to nurture. And I have some amazing examples in my book of stories of people who just said, you know, they were okay with their job, but they really wanted to nurture their soul, whether it was you know, learning how to play the violin through YouTube lessons and buying one on eBay. We've got a guy from Mattel who you may even know who did that. And, you know, the discovery of these passions in ourselves that we get to explore are a pretty unusual route. I think it, you know, it starts with someone knowing that they're truly entitled to kind of go out there and figure it out. And you don't have to blow up your life to do it either. There's a lot of things you can layer into your life, which, you know, I sort of touched on in that excerpt in the book. It's really amazing. So fast forward to you decide to leave your existing husband, leave your job, delve back into this beautiful space of food and cooking. What was sort of your game plan? Was there a vision of what you were going to do that?
Oh, good God, I had no game plan.
I was like,
all right, let's just figure this out. And what was interesting was my mother and I were asked to go to China for the Food Network to do a special. And that was a beautiful experience because, you know, remember, I barely knew my mom growing up because she was so busy. So this opened up a whole new opportunity for me to know her and for her to know me as friends. Anyhow, the producer, when they were editing it, they were like, we really want to shine a light on your culinary path. What is your culinary path? And I was like, I don't know. What is my culinary path? I was like, oh, you know, I'm launching a catering business. I just blurted it out. So then when the special aired, I suddenly had a gig for 400 people, 300 people, 200 people, like in the span of 2 weeks. And I was like, ah! And I was living in a guest house in Laurel Canyon with no dishwasher. Okay. And like steps leading up to the street and one tiny little thing. It was so crazy. And, you know, it's like, careful what you wish for. And then I had lived in a cul-de-sac with all these gay friends, and they gave me keys to their house. So I had shrimp in somebody's freezer, chicken in another person's freezer, and all my like workers crisscrossing the, you know, cul-de-sac. I kind of have always made it up as I've gone along, but what I've realized is my mission in life is to honor my mother's legacy through cooking. So whatever I do, whatever choice I make before I, you know, go on to the sound stage of Iron Chef. And I get nervous. I just think about that. And that's my sort of my guiding philosophy.
Right. And that just sort of like is your true north, right? That centers you right there. That's amazing. What would you say was the easiest part for you in all of this?
Goodness. I think letting go was so much easier than I thought it was going to be, because I think I'm really actually an artist, and that was just dying to come out.
Yeah.
And so once I sort of, you know, release myself from those chains of having to act this way, having to, you know, be a good corporate citizen, be a you know, good Asian girl, all those things.
Right.
That was surprisingly easy.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. I think that moment, we have these gnawing feelings, right, that are always nagging at us. We look at other people's lives. We see people's lives on, God knows, on social media. And we think, you know, there's something out there for us. But sometimes we have to learn how to listen to that, right? We have to learn how to just pay attention to those voices in our head, not the crazy voices, but the voices or that gnawing feeling that is trying to tell us that maybe you're not where you want to be. Maybe there is something else for you, and really tune into that. And it's something I talk a lot about, because I think that with this hair on fire world that we've been living in, we have not paid a lot of attention to that. And in some strange way, the last year has been quite a blessing for a lot of us, in that it's forced us to either get back a little bit more time in our lives, whether it's commuting, whether it's not going out every night, whether it's not making unnecessary meetings and appointments just to fill our schedule, to feel like we're busy, because if we're busy, we feel like we're worthy. And, you know, it's all that craziness. And all of a sudden we've been given this gift, as I call it, of time and that pause button. And whether it's being at home more, whether it's being able to walk on a phone call in your tennis shoes in the middle of the day, but you're still on a really important call, but that's what everybody's doing, so it's okay. It's this chance to really listen to what we want and where we want to go. And I want to take a moment to talk about it. You shared with me that out of COVID, came the band. So will you tell that story? Because it is fantastic. And especially the title of it, it couldn't be more appropriate for today. And it reminds me of a story in my book as well. So I was really excited to hear this.
Well, when life gave us COVID, my husband and I formed a band called Never Too Late, because it was always my husband's dream to play electric guitar at his 60th birthday party, which is in a couple years. And, you know, he kind of tried to teach himself, but he was, I think he's watching, he was okay at it. But anyway, so then our kids are in a band and they're in a school called Sound Life Music Academy. So we hired the teacher to sort of help us with the band. And we recruited a friend of ours who had always dreamed of playing the drums. He's in his 50s as well. He'd played for a couple months on his own. He joined our band. I auditioned to be the lead singer. And for those of you from my past and current life, you know how much I love karaoke. I'm not a great singer, but I love to sing. But I was the only one that auditioned, actually. And then I recruited a friend of mine that just left Universal after 25 years to also sing along with us. So we, you know, rehearse virtually. And then when it feels safe, we do it outside, you know, socially distanced. But the most hilarious part of all of this is our teacher asked us to film a music video for the upcoming showcase. So we did Proud Mary wearing wigs. We can put the link in the chat. I'll give it to Zenya. Yes, yeah. My husband's wearing a wig. I'm wearing a wig. Very cool concept because our drummer is a digital producer. But it premiered during a children's showcase. So completely mortifying because it was like one kid's band after another and then us as adults.
Oh, we need to see this.
Oh my God. You know, it's like when you stop caring about what people think, that's, I think, when you really start to have some fun.
Very well said and so important. And, you know, just the fact that you got together and did something. You know, I have this great analogy around the reinvention topic. You know, you can be that lawyer in the corner office that's miserable and hating your life, and you don't need to blow it up. I've got a chapter in my book called It's Not a Midlife Crisis, It's Just a Cry for Reinvention. And if you have a way to nurture your soul and layer things into your life that are going to give you joy and enable you to tap into, again, another chapter, hello, are you still in there? You know, that ability to reconnect with who you are. So much gets lost in our journey of life and work and family and responsibilities, and whether we're looking after elderly parents or young children or other people in our lives. And we so rarely make the time for ourselves. And we may not have a lot of time, but there are little precious ways to do it. And I mean, let's face it, if we've got time to binge watch 4 hours of Netflix and spend money on Starbucks coffee every day, which we were all doing, you know, we can reprioritize. We can find those moments in life to really channel our energy into things that we love. And some people have a hard time kind of figuring out what that passion may be, but that's part of the journey. And if you just start to open up to the fact that there is something else out there that you want, then it's about finding it. And, you know, my story about this lawyer is you ask him, what did you want to do when you were 15 years old? You know, he says, I wanted to be in a rock band. Well, when was the last time you actually picked up a guitar and held it in your hand and had that joy that you had when you were 12 years old? Now, you may not be the next Mick Jagger, but let's face it, go down the hall and talk to all the four other guys and gals that are in the hallway that feel the same way, which is what you guys did, Katie. So when you told me this, I was like, this is put a garage band together. And you won't mind coming to work on Monday. You will have a skip in your step, a light in your soul, and you will feel differently about everything else you're doing. And I think that's a very important part about reinvention, is that you don't have to blow up everything that you're doing, but rather find these little moments. They come in all shapes and sizes, and layer these wonderful other things into your life and listen to yourself a little. Let's have a food conversation for a moment, because many of us have clearly been stuck inside cooking 90% of the meals for the last 10 months. So, you know, I can tell you that I did not know my way around my kitchen until 10 months ago. And I've raised two children, and I love eating at home with my family, but I've never cooked so much or done so many dishes in my entire life. And yes, I think like all of us, it's like, okay, really another night, another meal, another day, another meal. I mean, it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I have one kid that's 21 that's been living at home. He's away at the moment, thank God. So I've been cooking for three. And you run out of ideas. But what I love so much about this new book, Katie, is the diversity. I mean, we made the most extraordinary miso cod the other night. And then the next night it's like, let's do something Italian. And the next night it's like, you know, you want to change all these genres of food that you're cooking. And I just love how you're bringing it all together in one cookbook. It feels like such a book cookbook for now. And for those of us that are just really kind of over the same things that we've been making over and over and over again, right?
Right. Well, I think, you know, especially kids today have been exposed to Food Network, you know, Top Chef. I mean, these little kids are foodies, you know, they're talking about umami flavors. So people are educated, they're hungry, they've been exposed, you know. Once upon a time, you drive past a mini mall and it was only donuts and hot dogs. And now you might find an empanada, you know, a pad thai stand. So I think people are really open and, you know, intimidated to make a lot of these types of recipes. But I think, like you said, people are so hungry for something fresh, something
different.
Different and practical. Yeah. And also, you know, we need to learn how to make use of all these leftovers, you know, that we have in our fridge also, right? There's and really learned how to nourish our bodies with, you know, immune boosting foods as well.
Completely. And there's a show on Netflix that I just discovered actually, which is like how to use your leftovers or something really fun like that. And I thought I never in a million years would have spent the time watching it. But now that's all I ever do. I, you know, figure out how to be really, and it's almost like an art. It's become cathartic. A lot of people say to me, how do you spend, you know, 9-10 hours doing what you're doing with all your clients and then go in the kitchen and cook dinner for your family? And I'm like, that is the joyful moment of my day. That is the moment where I get to go create. I get to be artistic. I get to have fun. It's playful. And I choose to look at it that way because I want it to be that. And I think that there's so much to the art of cooking and the joy that goes with it and the joy of feeding other people.
Well, and embracing the silver lining of having that opportunity to cook with your family, cook with your kids, actually sit down with them every night.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully some of those things will carry into our post-COVID reality, knock on wood.
I think, I certainly hope so. You live an extremely busy life. You are juggling a family, you're juggling a business, you're juggling, you know, incredible friends and family. Are there things that you do every day, Katie, to kind of set the tone for your day? Are there mantras or practices or things that just kind of ground you or help give you that energy? I'd love to sort of hear how you juggle that.
I wish I could say I have a meditation or a mindfulness practice. My husband, Matthew Jonas, is like a guru of mindfulness. I had to give him a shout out. Not really. I'm just like, I have like a monkey mind. So I just get up and go. Yeah. But my self-care is sitting. My husband gave me a massage chair for Hanukkah.
sitting
in my massage chair, drinking wine and watching Bridgerton.
Oh my gosh. I'm with you. That is
100%. If you're with me, show me some thumbs up in the chat because I have seen it the whole series more than once.
I could watch it again.
If you know what I mean.
There is definitely, oh my God, there is the fantastic. We love that. So let me ask you this. This is one of my favorite questions. And of all people, you will and are, and you do throw amazing dinner parties. But if you could have anybody at that table when it's time to throw open the doors and it's all safe and healthy, dead or alive, who, name three or four amazing people that you would just love to have come sit around your dinner table, enjoy whatever fabulous meal you're going to be making. And I hope I get to be there. Who would you have at that dinner party? Like I said, they don't have to be living. So there are people that you would really love to have a conversation with.
I'm going to say Michelle Obama, Prince, and Andy Warhol.
Oh, love it. Love that.
This is just the three things that popped into my mind.
Right. And what a combination that would be. I'm so there. I love that. Are there any favorite books or podcasts that you're listening to lately? Anything that's just really striking you as either inspiring or fun, or that's just making you laugh and take the serious side out of life right now?
I just love Conversations with Warrior Woman podcast by Liv Svatek, who's on right now.
Oh, also fabulous. Hi.
Yeah, she's on right now. Yes. Lead with Your Brand podcast with Jason Patria. Also just love so much. She's got Moxie. I also love. I'm reading Ali Wong's book right now, which is hilarious.
I love that. Okay, well, thanks for sharing, because we love to make notes and share all of this with everybody. Is there any advice, just given the year that everybody's had? You've been through some pretty amazing and extraordinary reinventions in your life. You've, you know, you dared to leap when most people might have thought you were completely crazy, both personally and professionally. People are being thrown into a tailspin of nuances, losing jobs, you know, having to deal with just so much challenging environment in the world. Is there any advice? You know, what was it that you held on to that got you through some of those, you know, roller coaster moments in your life, and anything that you could share with those that may be going through that?
You know, just try to stay as positive as possible. And also, you know, I've tried to remember this throughout my entire culinary career and being an entrepreneur. When one door closes, climb through the window. Don't look for another door. Find another way. And, you know, once COVID hit, I had to stop catering, obviously. So I just looked it back and I was like, want to start a show? You know, and we started this show and we have tons of sponsors. And I was actually found by another company because I share my live stream to 125 groups because I'm a Facebook whore. They found me because they were looking for an Asian chef. And now I am teaching, like, I can't even tell you how many classes for them. And it's really an amazing company. And then it inspired me to also, you know, launch my own virtual cooking class series as well. It's called Cook With Me by Chef Katie Chin. So I do virtual classes with or without cook-along kits. So, you know, it can get frustrating. You don't know where to turn. Maybe you got laid off. You know, maybe you were an entrepreneur, but you had to close your business. There's always another way. You know, it might not be the way you thought it was going to be, but there's always another way to look at things.
I love that. And I love the idea of looking for that window to walk through, not necessarily another door, to think a little out of the box, to stay positive. I think, you know, so much of that is just beautiful advice, and not advice from someone who hasn't been through so many versions of that. And that's what I love. I think that it's so important to recognize what's possible and be open to the beauty of what you can create in your life. And, you know, I think, look, it was like what I said before, when I realized that I wasn't about to go on a book tour that was going to start at Rita's house with a party, I was going to have to bring the book tour to me. And I was going to have to figure out how to put my life's work from the last 5 to 10 years and all this amazing content that I'd created to good use in a different way. And fortunately, I didn't write a book about white elephants. I wrote a book about reinvention and pivoting. So the timing was extraordinary, but I really dug into how to leverage that in the moment. And as many of you know, I just launched a podcast at the beginning of the year as well. And it's an extraordinary thing to be able to have these conversations with people who really need it. I mean, there's a lot of us that meet here every Tuesday at 2:30 and have amazing guests on here. And it's a little business therapy. It's a little personal therapy. It's a lot of inspiration. It's a heck of a lot of motivation. And the conversations are so real. And what we're all dealing with and juggling, be it challenging, be it really positive, everybody's got something to share to contribute to that. I am going to just briefly share a beautiful quote from Elizabeth Gilbert and take us out with this. The universe buries strange jewels within us all and then stands back to see if we can find them. So I encourage everyone to look for those jewels, look for those back pocket reinventions. Find the little things that are going to nurture your soul. Be open-minded, listen to yourself, and happy reinventing, everybody. And thank you just for being a part of this conversation, Katie. Thanks a million for today and sharing everything. We're so excited. We're all going to start cooking with you. We'll see you all back here for a cooking class. Thank you again.
Thanks for listening to The Power of Reinvention. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Wouldn't mind a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, be sure to visit thereinventionexchange.com to share your reinvention stories, suggest a guest, join the newsletter mailing list, get access to my book, which is called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, and discover fantastic bonus content with my blogs, and listen in to the Reinvention Virtual Chat series. Don't forget to join me next week for another episode. Please share with a friend, and thank you for listening. Happy reinventing.